This podcast is sponsored by Hercules Strong Guard Tires. Visit HerculesTiresCommercial.com to learn more.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley. He has the morning off. I'm Gary McNamara. I don't. I'm here. If you'd like to get in, we'd love to hear from you. RedEyeRadioShow.com. We stream live. Get our app, put it on your phone, and listen at your convenience. Breaking news overnight, a shallow earthquake of magnitude 8.2 hit the Alaska Peninsula late on Wednesday, prompting tsunami warnings in the region. There was no immediate reports of loss of life or property. The U.S. Geological Survey said the quake, which struck at 10:15 p.m. local time, was at a depth of 35 kilometers. In Alaska, the National Tsunami Warning Center issued warnings for southern parts, the peninsula, and Pacific coastal areas. It also issued a tsunami watch for the U.S. state of Hawaii. We will keep you updated on that. So, yeah, just looking at the actual, the tsunami alert, actually looking at the actual chart of it, and it's really interesting when you look at the chart, how many hours it would take. They actually have that mapped out. You know, and it goes all the way to, you know, 15, 20 hours, and how it goes all the way across the Pacific. Pretty fascinating. All right, 866-90-RED-EYE, if you would like to get in. You know, with the new guidance on mask mandates, I'll tell you this, you know, because we talk about, well, it's just about masks. Also, it's sending businesses have no idea what to do. Offices that have been calling people back, now they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do because the whole point is now that they're saying you need to be masked if you're vaccinated, a lot of companies are like, well, we don't want to spread it. Well, wait a minute. Are we going to spread it? We were told we weren't going to spread it if we're vaccinated. Now we're told we're going to spread it. Is it any greater? Is it any greater incident of spreading it? And will these people get sick? Because we're getting contradictory information on a consistent basis from our government, businesses don't know what to do right now. There were some businesses that were saying, okay, we're going to bring vaccinated people in, and if you're not vaccinated, you can still work at home. I know somebody who's in that situation where their company was starting to bring people back. All right, we've got this. A lot of companies had dates set for August 1st. A lot of companies said July 1st, August 1st, September 1st, October 1st. And these companies are now, we don't know what to do. Can we bring people back? We were going to bring everybody back who was vaccinated. If they weren't, they could work remote. I actually know companies that are doing that. You can still stay remote for the time being. And some companies were saying, well, if we only have a small minority of the people that aren't vaccinated, we'll bring everybody back. If 90% of our people are vaccinated and 10% aren't, well, we've got herd immunity because the vast majority, are. What do we do now? So has this the potential to hurt business? Absolutely. I want to play here because it really is our audio cut of the day. Played it earlier in the show. Want to play it again. Texas Republican Representative Chip Roy of Texas on the House floor yesterday over Congress's focus on mask mandates, actually in the House, in the House chambers, while other things are going on, which just show the pure insanity of the Democrats on this issue, among many others.
Because what we're seeing at the border is an absolute travesty. And yet my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are going to do nothing. Literally nothing about that today, even as we see people spilling across the border who are clearly testing positive for COVID. We have a hotel in La Jolla, Texas, that is literally filled right now with individuals who are heavily testing positive for COVID. These are the facts on the ground. And I know my friend, the speaker, knows how bad it is at the border, knows how bad it is in Laredo, knows how bad it is in Del Rio, knows how bad it is in McAllen. I've got a text here from a sheriff in a small Texas town saying, we're passing an emergency declaration tonight at city council that no illegal immigrants can be released in the city of Uvalde per the CDC guidelines of countries on their list without a negative COVID test, and we have had our health authority write orders that give us the authority to have them government, border patrol, and immigrant quarantine for 10 to 14 days. We have a crisis at our border, and we're playing footsie with mask mandates in the people's house. I mean, it's absolutely absurd what this body is doing, the people's house. It's an embarrassment. It's a mockery. And the American people are fed up. They want to go back to life. They want to go back to business. They want to go back to school without their children being forced to wear masks, to be put in the corner, to have mental health issues. And we're running around here, and the speaker comes down here at 10 o'clock in the morning saying, we got to wear masks in the people's house while we've got thousands of people pouring across our border, and Democrats don't do a darn thing about it, heavily infected with COVID. We have the New York Times, okay, today. What a mess. CDC about to reverse on indoor masking for the vaccinated, quote unquote. This is some serious nanny state stuff that will only breed resentment. No kidding. Consider resentment being magnified right here in the floor of the House of Representatives. That's right. We are absolutely sick and tired of it, and so are the American people. This sham of an institution is doing nothing for the American people. Nothing for the betterment of the people that send their representatives here. I just met this morning with an organization that tries to take care of people from human trafficking. Met with an elected official from Mexico while cartels are raping and pillaging and killing. And we have people infected with COVID coming across our southern border into Texas. And you all put masks up front here on the people's house. We got to go around and see, okay, we can't come to the floor. I can't execute my constitutional duty unless I wear a mask. Well, which is it? Vaccines or masks? Do the vaccines work or they don't work? Do the masks work so they don't work? I'd like to know which it is. I'd like Dr. Fauci to come down and answer.
There you go. And that's Representative Chip Roy. So yesterday, I want to just make sure that I go back to the actual study for kids, because this is about kids having to wear masks. As they write in National Review, as noted a little while ago, a child's odds of surviving an infection are 99.995%. And those who did succumb suffered from pre-existing serious brain or nerve-related disabilities. This comes from one of the latest studies, a study that was recently done in Great Britain. Some 99.995% of the 469,000 children in Great Britain who were infected during the year examined by researchers survived. Underlying health conditions, especially serious brain or nerve-related disabilities, increase the risk of dying from COVID-19. No child with standalone diagnosis of asthma, diabetes, epilepsy, or Down syndrome died from COVID-19 in this study that was done of 469,000 children in Great Britain that got COVID. And as they write here in National Review, we would prefer kids not catch COVID-19. Sure, if they are infected, do we have to worry about any serious health consequences? In very rare cases, yes. We know which kids are most at risk because of their pre-existing serious disabilities. In those cases, we can take steps to keep kids safely distanced and protected, and in some cases and ages, vaccinated. And that's why in this particular case, it's what we've talked about from the very beginning. The focus of the country from the very beginning should have been on the most vulnerable, and we don't do that. There's no reason to mask all children in schools. there is no evidence to show that. And if you believe there is, we went through all of the flu data. The flu kills more children than COVID by a significant margin. If you're talking children that, you know, don't get vaccinated, we went through all the data last week, the official CDC data on children that are killed by the flu. So if you, to be consistent by the standard that is now being set, then all parents listening right now would want their children masked all the time at school from kindergarten all the way through high school. Is that where we're at now? Is that the standard that we wish to have in America? One of the things that we never want to do on this show is give out false information. I don't believe we ever have, and if we have, it's been by accident, and we've immediately corrected it as soon as we have found it out. We don't want to waste our time debating anything that's not based on empirical evidence, truth. We want to be as close to the truth and scientific truth as possible at the moment from what we know. That way you can make a proper risk analysis, you know, for yourself and your children. So the last thing we'd ever want to do is do that. But where we are at right now, and as we said yesterday and the day before, and we've said this many times before, if there is a flaw in our analysis here and right here, I'd love to hear what it is. Unless you believe that all children should be masked all the time in schools, permanently. Because that's where we are. Your calls and comments coming up next, 866-90-RED-EYE.
You're pumped for summer, but are your tires? As the temperature outside goes up, so does the importance of tire maintenance. The key to staying on the road this summer is to stay on top of regular tire inspections. If your truck isn't equipped with a tire pressure monitoring system, invest in a quality tire gauge. Check your tire pressure before and after every route while the tires are cold. Measuring tire pressure while they're hot can give an inaccurate reading, since tire pressure increases as tires get warmer, particularly during use. Pressure levels should match the manufacturer recommended cold PSI level, which you can find on the sidewall of your tires. Catching under or overinflated tires early on is the key to minimizing downtime this summer. Need help on the road? Just call TA Truck Service Road Squad at 1-800-824-SHOP.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley. He has the morning off. I'm Gary McNamara. You know, we talked about this, in fact, very, very early on. By the time we got to June, and, you know, there was, people were talking about, well, you know, what do we do about the unvaccinated people that won't get it? And I said, I don't care, but we don't shut down or inconvenience society anymore because people have chosen to do what they wish to do in a free society. And if government isn't going to mandate it, and we got into the theoretical discussion, could government mandate that adults get it? And somebody asked me that question. They said, do you think legally they could? And I said, well, the only thing I could think of is the precedent of the draft. If the government can draft you for the benefit of the country, then under certain circumstances, probably martial law of a pandemic virus that would wipe out, I don't know, half the population, they might be able to do so. But politically, could they get away with it? and that would be the big problem. But what are we doing here? And we had talked about this earlier, and there's another article written here. Jim Garrity wrote this. Axios summarizes the recent White House moves as, quote, the Biden administration is essentially asking vaccinated Americans to help save the unvaccinated from themselves. The problem is it's almost impossible to save someone who isn't willing to save himself. And I suspect that many of the unvaccinated would insist they're just fine as they are. I know, because I know I have unvaccinated friends that say, I don't want to wear a mask. I'm fine. If it gets me, it gets me. That's their attitude. And they have a right to that attitude. If unvaccinated people thought that they were at a significant risk of infection, serious health consequences, and death from COVID-19, then they would probably go out and get vaccinated. Many will refuse to believe they face significant risk of infection, serious health consequences, and death from COVID-19 right up until the moment that they're admitted to a hospital. We have an acquaintance we know in the industry that's facing that right now. My guess is every American has had some experience with some variation of that theme. Loved ones living with addictions, friends who keep falling in love with someone who's terrible for them, dealing with family members or friends who can't control their spending, their drinking, their overeating. Human beings can be exceptionally stubborn creatures and cling to a preferred narrative in the face of overwhelming counter evidence. The lesson is of this is not never help anyone. The lesson is we need to make sure that the person being helped psychologically and spiritually buys into the effort as well. Otherwise, even the best intention efforts are likely to leave problems instead of solving them. Perhaps the best way of summarizing the situation is the Biden administration is asking vaccinated Americans who are at little or no risk of COVID-19 to accept additional inconveniences to minimize the risk of infections among people who refuse to get vaccinated and in many cases refuse to wear masks themselves. The philosophy is that the vaccinated owe the unvaccinated even more additional effort with little or no discussion of what the unvaccinated owe the vaccinated in return. No one wants to help an ingrate. What does the Biden team think is going to happen here besides angering a lot of Americans? That's Jim Garrity, National Review. So whatever you think, I mean, like I said, I know some people that their doctors have told them, no, you might be allergic because of something that you have, and they've decided not to get it, even though they do have some underlying conditions that could affect them. I know people that are older that actually fit into the narrative of 65 and older who don't have underlying conditions and who won't get it and who won't wear the mask and have said bluntly, if I die from it, then I die from it. Well, you're not going to change their minds. You're not going to do it. And so what you're doing here is, without question, what you're asking in our society is that the vaccinated Americans who have done what the government believes is the right thing to do must help save the unvaccinated from themselves, that you owe them something, that you are selfish if you don't do it, and you owe them something, yet there is nothing owed to you in return from the unvaccinated. Discuss. So there you go. All right, your calls and comments coming up. Hang on, we'll get to them following the bottom of the hour. 866-90-RUDDA. The other thing I want to bring up here is pretty funny. Eric and I have talked about the American public is concerned with inflation in this country. And there's another article in the Wall Street Journal about, and we had touched on this the other day, but just with a couple of economists, but how the Fed's economists are completely wrong. These are the dozens upon dozens of economists that are paid by the Fed in order to give accurate predictions. And they're not even close. They're not even close and haven't been close. That and more on the way. 866-90-RED-EYE.
This whole thing wouldn't happen without Putin's permission. Red Eye Radio.
And I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the morning off. 86690 Red Eye. Oh, sad to see that the bassist from ZZ Top, Dusty Hill, died yesterday. Don't know what from. You know, I guess he's had some, you know, illnesses, but nothing that was that anybody knew of. Maybe it was secret. You know, that was terminal. So that was sad to hear. I remember the first time I remember when I first heard LaGrange, and you know, it's like that's ZZ Top from Texas. And you really said to yourself, because I was living in New York at the time, I was like, wow, I mean, I was like, okay, that's Texas. That's definitely rock and roll that comes from Texas. And it was, I have the DVD of the Crossroads Guitar Festival from, that was done at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. I think it was the first one that Eric Clapton put on. That was just a great DVD. I mean, it's every form of guitar music known to mankind. I mean, everything, jazz, rock, whatever. And they ended the whole show with ZZ Top. And he said, come on, we're in Texas. We had to. And he just, you know, he talked about the same thing I did that, you know, growing up where he did, or, you know, basically being from, you know, across the water. The first time he heard ZZ Top, he did the same thing. You know, you're just thinking of some honky tonk in Texas and these guys playing. And then once they grew the beards and everything else, and then by the time they got to the 80s and Sharp Dressed Man, they weren't a style of music anymore. They were just ZZ Top. And that's what they were. And so they found a huge, huge niche, and never saw them live. But I did see... Billy Gibbons play with the Daryl Hall show. I can't think of it. Live at Daryl's house. And that was just greatness. I mean, that was just absolutely greatness. So, it's too bad because as far as I know, they were still, you know, they were planning on going on tour and everything else post-COVID. So, rest in peace, Dusty Hill. All right, 866-90-RED-EYE. All right, so let's just quickly wrap it up, the whole mask mandate here very quickly. And I brought you that Jim Garrity thing on National Review saying, you know, talking about Axios, referring to Axios, it said, look, what the Biden administration is doing, the Biden administration is telling vaccinated people who they have told to do the right thing to sacrifice more for people who refuse to do the right thing by the government standard. Who refused to do the right thing and have no intention of getting vaccinated. And all you're going to do is create dissension. That's all you're going to do. But I think what needs to be brought up, though, is because that isn't the entire thing. As I've said, people that I know that don't want to get vaccinated that are in the more vulnerable group, and that's 65 and above, and I know at least three, they don't have underlying conditions from what I know, except for age. And they're just blunt. I don't care if I die. I don't care. If I die, I die. But they're also the first ones to say, I don't want to wear a mask, and you shouldn't wear a mask, and you shouldn't worry about me. All three of them, to a T, have said the exact same thing to me. So the mask mandate is the government telling you, if you're vaccinated, you need to sacrifice more for somebody who does not wish and has no intention to do what you have done for a variety of reasons. And they also don't want the government to reinstate the mask mandate to protect them. And the other part of the mask mandate is the fact that children need to wear them in school. And you need to wear them to protect the children. Well, if you follow that narrative, then we will all have to wear masks all the time for the rest of our lives indoors. Because we pass the flu on to children, and the flu is more deadly to children, way more deadly than COVID, based on the statistics, part of what we gave you today and part of what we gave you last week, all from the CDC and from the latest British study. either one doesn't get you to where you want to get. Either one doesn't get you to where we wish to be as a society. And it doesn't solve the problem either. 866-90-RED-EYE, if you would like to get in, let us go to... we go to Bill, go right down the line. We go to Bill in Kansas City. Bill, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier about how liberals hold opinions. And I would postulate that liberals don't hold opinions, they hold positions. And now let me explain why. To hold an opinion, it requires coherent, cognitive, and sentient thought to form an opinion. To hold a position, well, I can put a rock in a position and it will hold that position until moved by something else. Correct?
Well, I'll say I agree. Are we going further on this? Because I know people that hold, I know people that hold opinions that don't have the facts to back them up, and you could call them a position or an opinion.
I would call that a position more than an opinion, and we have a lot of people that hold the position that they must wear the mask, but they've never reviewed any of the facts. Hold the position on X, Y, Z, if they had whatever political situation it is out there, if they actually reviewed the facts and thought about it, 8 out of 10 times they would change their position to something else, i.e. form an opinion, and change their ideas. But they refuse to do so because they're so deadlocked on, I'm following Biden or I'm following Trump or I'm, it doesn't matter who, what it is, if the person that they follow said it, they believe it.
Oh, yeah.
Therefore, they hold positions. They do not hold opinions.
Right. And
that requires thinking thought.
Right. And I understand. I understand exactly where you're going. I might differ a little bit based on the definition because I actually looked up opinion. A view or judgment formed about something not necessarily based on fact or knowledge. So opinion could be interchangeable with position. So there are people that hold opinions all the time that aren't factual, which is, but we agree on it. You're just trying to explain it in using different words. So that's okay. No major argument as long as we agree on the premise, on the basic premise. Let us go to Steve in Lincoln, Nebraska. Steve, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Steve.
Hi, guys. First-time caller.
Thanks.
I have a uniquely American idea that might help solve some of this problem. I taught economics in high school, and I say, let's just pay the people that don't have shots, kind of like a mini stimulus. Say we give them $200 for each shot. That leaves open the question, what are we going to do with all the people that already have shots? I propose that it would probably be cheaper to give everybody a fourth or fifth stimulus check, depending on what your eligibility has been in the past, and let these people benefit from more people getting shots.
Yeah, but the thing you do is the people that have already gotten their shots aren't going to get that money, and then you get people being envious of each other. But the fact is, they've already tried that, and I think the different states have tried that. They gave money, they gave gifts, they gave you a chance at lotteries that you could get involved in, where you could win $1 million. There were some people that got in the shot lotteries and won $1 million, and that was limited in the actual effect that it would get. Remember, the people it's not as important. And I think when you understand the virus, people under 40 with underlying conditions, if I was under 40 and did not have an underlying condition, I would still get a shot. Now, I will say that when I was under 40 with no underlying conditions, I really never got the flu shot. And I got the flu bad, I mean really bad, when I was like 38. I had still at that point never got the flu shot. About 5 years ago, I said, don't be stupid, get the flu shot. So maybe I wouldn't have. If I had the mind now, I might have gotten the flu shot back then. There's a lot of things that I got vaccines for that I don't have really a lot of chance of getting. You know, shingles. When I got shingles, I was eligible for the shot like a year before I got shingles and didn't get it. And then I got shingles over the eye. And when the doctor comes in and says, you need to go to the emergency room right now because we need to find out whether that virus, the herpes virus that in the shingles, has got into your eye because it can blind you. Well, at that point, you wake up. And so when it came time, you know, to get the shingle shot, which is permanent now, the double dosage, which I got last September and then December, I got it. That kicked my butt. I mean, that was the worst vaccine I ever got. I thought after the first shot, I thought that I had COVID. I was so bad. I was on the couch the whole day. It was really bad. And then the second one I got in December, same symptoms, not as bad, but still did nothing the entire next day. So, but yeah, the money has limited. It's not going to change. The problem is right now, the only problem that you really have right now with the hospitalizations, you know, they talk about that it's the unvaccinated, but who are they? Are they unvaccinated people that are 30 years of age for the most part? No. Elderly, obese, underlying conditions. Almost to a T. And we don't talk about that enough. And so you're talking about, of the elderly, the 10% that haven't got either shot. That's where you're going to see the deaths. That's where you're going to see the serious hospitalizations here. You're going to see it in people over 65. Not that you can't get it in other areas. Like I said, you can die from the flu. You can die from influenza in any year, and you can be 30 years old and do it. But the statistics show in this particular virus, we know those that are more susceptible to getting a serious illness. Really isn't rocket science anymore on this. Let us go to Brian in West Virginia. Brian, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
How you doing tonight?
Very good. Very good.
Yeah. I'm wondering, they haven't closed the border down, and they're letting thousands upon thousands of people cross over into this country that are not vaccinated. Why is that border not shut down if they're that concerned about the uptick in the coronavirus?
Well, we've pounded on that. We have pounded on that all week and last week, and that and we pounded on it in January when we hit the biggest peak for COVID was in January of this year, and that's when Biden became president and put and rescinded the executive order of Trump and invited illegal immigrants to cross the border. And we stated it at that time, and we've stated it ever since, and we stated it three or four times earlier on the show today, three or four times on yesterday's show, three or four times the day before that. The Democrats don't care if Americans die of COVID. It's a lie that they tell you that they care. It's a show that they tell you that they care, because if they truly cared, they would shut down the border like they're doing in Canada. They're shutting down the border of Canada where even they are so afraid of this Delta variant, they claim that they have shut down vaccinated people from coming in. People that they could verify as vaccinated, they're keeping from coming in. Yet they're allowing people that come into this country illegally to go to different parts of this country and not, in some cases, even inform local authorities that these people have COVID. And that does not count the number of people that the Border Patrol has not been able to stop who just come across into this country. Why? Because they were invited by the Biden administration. It's absolutely reprehensible. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley. He has the morning off, and I'm Gary McNamara. I don't. just so you know, the 7-day average for vaccines up from last week at this time. They had got down to right about 500,000. Now they're above 600,000 for the last couple of days. Whether that's more people getting their first shots or people getting their second shots or people more concerned because of the Delta variant, cannot tell you. But just looking at the latest figures on vaccinations, and that would be the seven-day average is now, I think, 608,000. And it was down just right at 500,000 about a week ago.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the entire planet. 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the morning off. RedEyeRadioShow.com is where we stream live. Get our app, put it on your phone, and listen at your convenience. In the news, the Senate yesterday agreed to take up a bipartisan infrastructure package hours after senators in the White House announced they had reached a deal. After weeks of closed-door haggling, senators voted 67-32 to greenlight the debate, with 17 Republicans joining 50 Democrats to launch a floor effort that could conclude with a Senate victory for a bipartisan package. The big hurdles remain for the bill to reach the final vote, and negotiators are still finalizing text. The Senate is currently using a shell bill that will eventually include the agreed-upon language. So there's where we are right now. Look, we've talked about it a lot. We've talked about, well, it's been called now the Trojan Horse Bill because it's the bill that leads to reconciliation. So why would any Republican agree to do it? What in the world are they thinking? And then yesterday you had Kyrsten Sinema come out and say she's a no on the Democrats' $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill. Now, the first thing that we think of, sorry, we're cynics, is the fact that, yeah, okay, your Sinema, your Manchin, you've got to pretend that you're against the bill, but if it's down to $3.4 trillion, which really spends $5.2 trillion next week after the Senate bipartisan bill passes, well, then you've got the bipartisan bill. Everybody jumps onto the reconciliation bill, and it may be a little bit lower, but you still got 99% of what you want, and the Republicans, again, are played for suckers. If that doesn't happen, I will be the first to apologize. But we've seen this enough time, and there's no reason, none, for any Republican to be on board for the infrastructure bill. None. None. For the life of us, we have no idea why you've got these Republicans that are on board. We have no idea. We cannot tell you what they expect. We don't know. We've gone through it all the last couple of weeks. We have no idea. There's something that sticks in them that says, oh, I can sell bipartisanship. Nobody cares. You may care for some bizarre reason, but we can't figure it out. And if you sign the Trojan Horse bill and it triggers and approves reconciliation because the Democrats, as the Democrats admit, once they get you aboard, they can say, see, Republicans were on board for a part of it. They should have come forward further, but yeah, they helped move this and they helped make it more palatable to sell a $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill than it would be a $4.1 trillion reconciliation bill. So we'll see what happens there. Meanwhile, public employee unions in New York. Are those Trump supporters? Just wondering. Public employee unions in New York are pushing back against newly announced dictates requiring workers to get vaccinated for COVID-19 or submit to regular testing for the virus. De Blasio announced Monday that public employees need to be fully vaccinated by mid-September, or they will be required to get tested for the coronavirus on a weekly basis. Officials note that it is not a mandate because employees have the choice, but some employees and unions say the measure goes too far and stamps on workers' rights. You had the fire department union president blast the mayor's decision following the news, saying his union, which represents the city's 4,300 EMS workers, took them by surprise with the move. The city and the mayor cannot simply disregard the civil liberties of the workforce. Oh, you think they care about it? The unions are really, really aggravated that the mayor sprung this on everybody, said Sanitation Workers Union President Harry Nespoli told the New York Times. So there you go. There. Meanwhile, with the new mask guidance and mask mandates, of course, the Republicans were out in force yesterday. This is our audio cut of the day, and it comes from Representative Chip Roy of Texas, who makes the same analogy that we've been making. Democrats really don't care whether Americans die of COVID. Otherwise, they would stop what's going on at the southern border, where you may have thousands, possibly tens of thousands of illegal immigrants getting into the United States that have COVID and have the Delta variant.
Because what we're seeing at the border is an absolute travesty. And yet, my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are going to do nothing, literally nothing about that today, even as we see people spilling across the border who are clearly testing positive for COVID. We have a hotel in La Jolla, Texas, that is literally filled right now with individuals who are heavily testing positive for COVID. These are the facts on the ground. And I know my friend, the speaker, knows how bad it is at the border, knows how bad it is in Laredo, knows how bad it is in Del Rio, knows how bad it is in McAllen. I've got a text here from a sheriff in a small Texas town saying, we're passing an emergency declaration tonight at city council that no illegal immigrants can be released in the city of Uvalde per the CDC guidelines of countries on their list without a negative COVID test, and we have had our health authority write orders that give us the authority to have them government, border patrol, and immigrants quarantined for 10 to 14 days. We have a crisis at our border, and we're playing footsie with mask mandates in the people's house. I mean, it's absolutely absurd what this body is doing, the people's house. It's an embarrassment. It's a mockery. And the American people are fed up. They want to go back to life. They want to go back to business. They want to go back to school without their children being forced to wear masks, to be put in the corner, to have mental health issues. And we're running around here, and the speaker comes down here at 10 o'clock in the morning saying, we got to wear masks in the people's house while we've got thousands of people pouring across our border, and Democrats don't do a darn thing about it, heavily infected with COVID. We have the New York Times, okay, today. What a mess. CDC about to reverse on indoor masking for the vaccinated, quote unquote. This is some serious nanny state stuff that will only breed resentment. No kidding. Consider resentment being magnified right here on the floor of the House of Representatives. We are absolutely sick and tired of it, and so are the American people. This sham of an institution is doing nothing for the American people, nothing for the betterment of the people that send their representatives here. I just met this morning with an organization that tries to take care of people from human trafficking. Met with an elected official from Mexico while cartels are raping and pillaging and killing. And we have people infected with COVID coming across our southern border into Texas. And you all put masks up front here on the people's house. We got to go around and see, okay, we can't come to the floor. I can't execute my constitutional duty unless I wear a mask. Well, which is it? Vaccines or masks? Do the vaccines work or they don't work? Do the masks work so they don't work? I'd like to know which it is. I'd like Dr. Fauci to come down and answer a single question about natural immunity. If you've been infected with a virus, do you have immunity? Or are they just going to go around poking people saying you must take a vaccine? Oh, but sorry, the vaccine doesn't work. You must wear a mask. This institution is a sham, and we should adjourn and shut this place down.
That's Representative Chip Roy of District 21, San Antonio, and Austin area in Texas yesterday, bringing up what we have said all along. It really is the most bizarre thing because, you know, whether we talk about critical race theory, again, which is the blunt racism coming from Democrats, the identity politics, the lying about election laws in order to instill racial hatred, the defunding of the police, and now this, it's just every day, it's just more insanity. And the fact of what's going on at our border, where we know possibly thousands, and we've known this since January, because this is something that Eric and I brought up in January to you. And so this is unbelievable. During the peak of COVID, they're now reversing the rules that were put into effect by the Trump administration. And then we saw that by the tens, by the hundreds of thousands, illegal immigrants scrambling to come to our border. And we know there have been numerous stories, a story about in La Jolla, about the family and the people that have COVID and were sent to the town and sent to other towns without warning the public health agencies, and people were coming in with COVID. There were stories previous to this months ago about the same thing happening, where they were just being released and told, go. We don't know what the monitoring system is, how many people are being monitored or tested, how many people are coming in. And these are the ones that are actually caught by Border Patrol and get the refugee status where they're supposed to come back, and then they don't come back. We brought you those numbers the other day. The vast majority do not come back and check in with the courts. So we're allowing people into this country that we know have COVID, that we know have the Delta variant, and it's not because we can't stop it. It's because the Democrats don't wish to stop it. So you cannot say that you care about American lives and the whole mask thing is about American lives, when clearly, on the other hand, on the southern border, at the northern border, you're telling people they can't come in with vaccines. Around the world, you're telling people, even if they're vaccinated, they can prove they're vaccinated, they can't come into the United States. Except if you try to get in illegally on the southern border, then it is okay to come into this country with COVID. It's okay. That's the Democrats' position today. That's the president of the United States' position, the administration's position, and the vast majority of the Democratic Party that is not representing districts on the southern border. How much more reprehensible can you get? They don't care about whether Americans die about COVID. Otherwise, there would be an uproar in that party to stop what's going on and stop the crisis at the southern border, which can only be done by the president reversing his executive order, which we have said from day one that this crisis was clearly recognized by the American public. They don't care if Americans get COVID. They don't care if Americans die from COVID, as long as they can fulfill their narrative and hopefully, in their own deluded minds, get enough illegal immigrants across the border, get them amnesty so they can win future elections. It is worth the death of Americans from COVID for them to get to the point. Please, any Democrat, tell me where I'm wrong. 866-90-RED-EYE.
How is the beef supply chain rebounding from the series of black swan events that impacted that industry over the last 2 years?
Beef cattle system responded remarkably well. Cattle prices have been on the rise. Consumer demand is strong.
2020's cattle backlog is nearly cleared. Year over year, cattle prices are already improving and should continue to do so through the second half of 2021 and beyond.
Purdue University economist Jason Lutz and Rabo AgriFinance analyst Dustin Ahern with their takes before a House Ag Subcommittee Wednesday. Hearing witnesses also testified on what considerations should be made to prevent future supply chain disruptions. One recommendation from the University of Minnesota's Jennifer Vandelite is improved comprehensive cybersecurity measures, as in the food and ag space.
All of these businesses are individually vulnerable to cyber attack. On a broader scale, though, the food system is one of the most interconnected systems within the critical infrastructures.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley. He has the morning off. I'm Gary McNamara. I don't. Let's go to Mike in Bakersfield, California. Mike, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Gary. I'm a truck driver. I listen to all three agonizing hours of your show every morning.
Thanks.
And,
I think that's a compliment. Go ahead.
No, you know what? I just had a quick opinion. Based on all this seriousness that's going on, I think my position on it is the Democratic Party, the Biden administration, they're forcing the vaccinations on the unvaccinated. You know, I think the unvaccinated are going to take it to the grave or go to the hospital, get sick. They'd rather go through that than get vaccinated because of which party is telling them, is asking of them. And so I think we're in for a tough time. You know, I think the mask mandates, I think everything is going to come back in full force, and I think that's going to be the Democratic Party forcing their hand.
I do think that a lot of people, it's the risk, because when you see it, when you have 90%, and thank you so much for your call, when you have 90% of those that are most vulnerable that have gotten the first shot, it shows. You know, you're talking about people over 65 years of age. They've lived a long time. Great wisdom and great concern that every year of their life is extremely valuable, which is why when they got the shots, remember those stories? Senior citizens get the shots and they're everywhere. They want to get out. Yeah, because as you get older, every year of your life might be considered more valuable when you start doing some critical thinking of how many years you may have left. And so, yeah, they've done it. I think it's more of a risk analysis. I really, now there are some people where it's not. There are some people that believe it hasn't been, that they're going to wait for a certain indeterminate amount of time. They don't know what that amount of time is, until they take the vaccine to see if everybody else is okay. Most of those people do not have underlying conditions and are not elderly. That then you get back to the risk assessment of it. But I do know, as I mentioned earlier, three people absolutely will never get it. I don't believe they'll ever get it. And they don't want to wear masks. They don't want you to wear masks to protect them. And so you have that going on in the country right now. And as that Axios article said, what the Biden administration is asking, it's asking the vaccinated people that have done what the government believes is the right thing to do, that they bear a responsibility to sacrifice more for those who have decided not to do what the government wishes for them to do, which the government believes is the right thing. And the other thing is that we need to protect the children. But the children have more of a chance of dying from the flu. So by that standard, it would mean that we all as a society from now on, by the standard we have set now, must all wear masks for the rest of our lives. By the standard that's been set as of yesterday, I don't know what else it means except that. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Got heavy thunderstorms this morning moving through the Wisconsin-Minnesota border area, right along I-90 and I-43 north and south. Things will stay south of Green Bay and mainly north of Chicago as the system moves across Lake Michigan towards Detroit. Timing for the system moving into the Motor City will be heaviest just before morning rush hour. From northeastern Minnesota into southwestern lower Michigan, look for significant wind damage as a result of heavy thunderstorms. Very hot to excessive heat covers much of the central third of the country and is expected to persist into the weekend over the south central states. That'll include eastern Texas, northward to southern Nebraska, over to Indiana, and southward to Florida. Portions of Washington, Oregon, and Idaho will be in the triple digits. Flash flooding in the desert southwest, a result of monsoonal flow into the southern Rockies. The national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Erica has the morning off. You know, we had a lot of, let's be blunt, screaming from Republicans yesterday, both on the House and Senate floor. We earlier played an audio cut from Ted Cruz. I think that there are two things, because we have talked about on the issues where the Democrats stand, and we've talked about critical race theory, the liberal transgender activist movement, all of these policies that are racist and defy, you know, the liberal transgender activist movement in this country, defy any type of science whatsoever. We saw where they went with defund the police, where they had to back off from that. We see the border debacle. We see the fact that Americans see what's happening, and that's why the pessimism in this country has just skyrocketed in the last couple of months, you know, denying, as Biden is doing, that anything, any of the spending of the money is not having an effect on inflation, that government massive spending actually will lower inflation. All this stuff that all economists know are just, you know, a bunch of horse manure. I don't know what else to say. In the COVID issue, there are two separate things. The one thing that we have focused on a lot, well, actually, both things we focused on the last couple of weeks. And the one, of course, is the fact that you can't sit there and claim you care about reducing the COVID rate in this country with the Democrats' policy on the southern border. You can't. Everyone knows that. Every single Democrat knows right now that's an insane thing, that if the Democrats truly, if you're a Democrat, you know this. You know it. You're probably embarrassed by it if you're a Democrat. Because you know that when they claim that they care about Americans and they want to protect Americans, and then they start calling people who don't wish to wear masks, who are vaccinated, that you're selfish and uncaring, yet they're not screaming about the southern border. You know they're absolute hypocrites. And the people that truly don't care about Americans getting COVID and dying from COVID are those that are allowing, enabling, and creating the crisis at the border right now, which is allowing thousands of people, possibly tens of thousands of people, to come into this country with the Delta variant of COVID. And they don't care. And you look at that and you shake your head. And the other thing is, and this thought keeps coming back to me, because as the rhetoric keeps getting louder and louder now because of masks, and the Democrats are screaming because they care about it, and Americans again are brought into the incredible, loud, sometimes insane rhetoric and screaming back and forth because there's such a concern about this whole COVID thing. And not one Democrat cares about the origin or publicly talks about we need to find out the origin of where COVID came from so this doesn't happen again. We saw how they tried to hide one of the theories for over a year. They banned the discussion of the theory that now many people in the White House, has been reported, believe it is just as legit or more credible than the nature theory, as to the lab leak theory is more legitimate than the theory that it just came from nature. Inside the White House, that has been reported, there are the experts that now believe it has more credibility than the natural origin. But they don't care. They don't wish to find it out. They won't challenge. They don't wish to challenge China and they themselves. You know, it's one thing to accuse China of not wanting to get to the truth. But when you realize that the Democrats don't wish to get to the truth of COVID because some of them may be exposed for what we don't know. We can suspect that, we're technically not going to call it gain of function, but yeah, we were supporting extremely dangerous research, putting it in the hands of the Chinese to do this incredibly delicate research that may have gotten out of hand. But there's no interest from Democrats to find out why. Those are the two things that the average person, even the average Democrat listening right now, you know that makes no sense at all. You know it. You can't defend it. You know you can't defend it. So you have to ask yourself, even as a Democrat, why in the hell are they doing this? Makes no sense at all. Why are they doing this? In other news, Eric and I have talked a lot about it, inflation and just how insane the messaging is coming. And we've talked about the Fed and other economists and how wrong they've been, and about the economists, even the liberal economists like Lawrence Summers from the Obama administration, that has been telling the Biden administration over and over again, you can't keep spending this kind of taxpayer dollars. There's going to be an inflation problem because of it. And they keep downplaying the inflation numbers. But as we see, it keeps getting bigger. It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the editorial board, Wall Street Journal, the Federal Reserve employs hundreds of economists whose job is assessing the American economy. So it is remarkable that the Fed is so wrong so often in its economic forecast. The latest big mess has been its failure to anticipate this year's surge in consumer prices. That's the only job that they have, is looking at the economy and looking at things like inflation. The only job they have, and they get it wrong on a consistent basis. We've talked about this in the past. Well, this is what happens in pseudo-government agencies and in government agencies where you aren't held accountable. Doesn't matter whether you're accurate or not. Just put it out. Make it look good. Here's a question, because we've said this many times about journalists. There are no journalists anymore. They're just political activists on the left. Is that the same for Fed economists and government economists, that they're truly not economists? They're simply political activists whose only goal is to cherry pick what they believe are the numbers that are important. So it looks like that the administration that they work for, that the goals are all going to be met. I'm just throwing that out as a possibility. We have no idea whether that really is true or not. It's just another Red Eye Radio conspiracy theory. They said the latest big miss has been the Fed's failure to anticipate this year's surge in consumer prices. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell conceded at his press conference Wednesday that prices had caught the central bank by surprise, but he showed no particular concern. The Federal Open Market Committee statement Wednesday after its two-day meeting also showed little interest in reeling in what has been the most reckless monetary policy in a while. Let's compare the actual inflation to the Fed's forecast. Oh, this is always fun to do. the nearby chart that I can look at, but you can't. But I'll explain it to you. It shows the estimates of inflation by Fed officials for 2021 and the price increases this year. Fed governors and regional bank presidents offer their economic estimates of growth, unemployment, inflation, and interest rates each quarter. The chart shows the median estimate of the federal forecasters from June of 2020 to last month for the personal consumption expenditures deflator, the Fed's favorite price index. Note that through December of 2020, Fed officials assumed inflation this year of 1.8%. By March, they had bumped it up to 2.4%. In June, their forecast climbed to 3.4%. Yet even that catch-up drill underestimated the price surge. The index had already climbed to 3.6 in April from a year ago and 3.9% in May. The June figure will be out this Friday. The Consumer Price Index, which is calculated differently, rose at even a faster rate. As the chart shows, the Consumer Price Index increased at an annual 5.4% rate in June after rising 5% at an annual rate in May. The Fed is way behind that price curve. Price increases would have to decline in the next 6 months to get close to the Fed's median June forecast of 3.4%. For 2021, much less its 2% inflation target. On Wednesday, Chairman Powell again explained the inflation miss as a result of the unusual nature of this economic recovery. Supply bottlenecks are creating shortages that are causing temporary price increases, he says. He's right about the shortages, but this lets the Fed off the hook too easily for its monetary policy. The Fed had to act in spring of 2020 to prevent the pandemic lockdowns from becoming another depression, but it has maintained its policy of near zero interest rates and the $120 billion in bond purchases for 16 months. It has done so despite a roaring economy and rapid job creation. The National Bureau of Economic Research reported last week that the pandemic recession officially ended in April of 2020 after only 2 months. The economic recovery has accelerated this year as the vaccines have come online. Economists are anticipating that Thursday's GDP report will show growth in the second quarter of 8%. So there you go. And they go through the whole thing about, you know, the entire miss on it. So are they truly economists or are they political activists? You would have to ask, I guess, right? We saw it coming. I don't have an degree in economics and neither does Eric. We saw it coming. We warned about it coming. Other economists, not in the Fed and in the federal government, also warned that it was coming. And it could be big. And with the monetary policy we've seen from the Fed, from the $120 billion of purchasing bonds, which means they print money to do that, which again lowers the value of the dollar, and then what? Means you need more dollars to purchase products, goods, and services. Inflation. And so are they truly economists telling you the truth, or are your taxpayers' dollars, when you talk about whether it's the Treasury Department and or the Fed and or the White House economists, your taxpayer dollars, are they actually going to get the truth from these economists or for them to push the propaganda for the administration and or in the Fed case? I don't know, take the blame off of their own fiscal policies? I'm just throwing that out as a possible guess. But what do I know? I'm not an economist. 866-90-RED-EYE.
There's a new Shell Rotella engine oil for gas engines. Shell Rotella Gas Truck is available now. Megan Pino, Shell Rotella Global Brand Manager, tells us what was behind the development and more about the product.
Obviously, Shell Rotella's heritage is heavy-duty engine oil, and that will remain our heritage. And we know that our customers work hard, but they also love to play hard. And many of our customers also own a gasoline-powered pickup truck, SUV, and perhaps as a personal vehicle or as part of the business. We also know that truck owners use their trucks for different purposes than a car, to be able to tow something, whether that's an RV or a boat for fun on the weekend, for, you know, your business, for hauling equipment. So you're doing something different with your truck than you are with a car. And so why use the same motor oil that you would in your car as your truck? There are three viscosity grades, 0W20, 5W20, and 5W30, which covers any gasoline-powered pickup truck or SUV in terms of the manufacturer recommendations.
For more, go to Rotella.com. This engine report is a service of Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the morning off. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we started talking, well, not started, but we were talking about the fact of the enhanced unemployment and people not wanting to do, for example, restaurant jobs, things like that. And I said, well, pretty soon they're going to come out with a robot server. They already have. Well, it actually doesn't go to the table. But what it does, it helps replace servers, because this one, basically, they put all the plates on it. The robot from the kitchen in little slots, and the robot goes, this is a Stockton, California restaurant, and the robot goes out to a designated area in the restaurant, so the server just goes, grabs the food, and puts it, gives it to the table. So the server can always be around the actual tables. Fewer servers can actually serve more tables, because it's walked right out to them, or rolled right out to them, by the robot. Pretty neat looking robot there. It really is. But yeah, so automation is coming. It's here.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.